This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
It's a new day. I'm Rhett Palmer, your host. Terry Borcheller is my guest. How are you doing, Terry?
Very well. Thank you, Rhett.
Great to have you here. And I want to make sure that microphone's in the right place there. So tell me something about yourself. You were formerly involved with race cars somehow?
I'm a professional sports car driver.
You are?
I am, yeah. Have been for many years.
Wow.
Started in go-karts with my dad. He raced in the 50s and had the bug and ended up having to start his own business and then had a family and so kind of steered away from it. And then as he was into his early 50s, late 40s, he saw that I had a desire to compete in that way. I was a motorcycle rider, and he said, "What do you think about racing go-karts together?" And so that kind of started it. Yeah.
So you associate, like, you, some guys think about fishing with their dad in the piece. You think about golf carts. My brother took a ride on a little sailboat, a little one-man sailboat when he was a little kid. Spent 26 years of his life living on a sailboat then, you know. So this, it's amazing where we get influence. Of course, I drove on Darlington once, Darlington Speedway, at about, you know, 20 miles per hour around the track. So that's pretty scary stuff. Now, do you still drive?
I race cars? I still race professionally. I had about a 7-year lapse where I thought I was maybe going to be done with racing because of my age. And
how old are you?
I'm 56.
Okay.
Yeah. So the shelf life for a professional racer is probably early 40s.
Because of your eyes. Right,
eyes is a big part of it, especially with sports cars.
How do you make a living racing cars? I mean, usually isn't that for the indolent rich or something, like horses?
You know, I've had best friends from high school, but one that I call my brother, who he asks me that question every time I see him. He's a custom home builder over in Lakeland, yeah. Holbert Homes.
Probably doing well.
He's doing amazing. He literally came to stay with me when he was 10 years old and never left. His family had was in a tumultuous situation, and
sort of like an adopted brother.
We totally.
Does he believe in Jesus like you do?
He does. Yeah, he does. He came to Christ the first time I spoke publicly, and
really.
But he asked me the question almost every time I see him. Now he looks at me, says, "Now, hang on a second. Now, explain this to me. You make a living driving race cars.
How?"
That's what he said.
How do you do it?
Well, it's like anything, right? It's hard work and dedication. But also, I believe you just mentioned something that's critical to specifically motorsports. It's a very expensive sport. It's, you know, huge budgets. Millions of dollars are spent.
So multimillionaires and billionaires invest, of course, and they can put you on salary. And that's it. Is that what happened to you? Or?
Well, it's a long story, but we got a little bit of time, so I'll share some of it.
But I want to get to Jesus as soon as we can. But I want to hear that too, though.
It's a big part of my testimony.
Oh,
so,
is it?
So cool. What happened in 1987? I was 21 years old. I had recently won a national karting championship, go-karting. When I said karting, you said golf cart. Most people in their mind, they think Sears and Roebuck, yard cart. The carts that
I'm picturing one that's hammered together with plywood,
No.
In a 1950s movie.
The carts that I raced would run, they would run well over 100 miles an hour. The last go-kart that I raced had a twin engine. It was a lay-down endurance cart with body work. That cart would run almost 150 miles an hour at Daytona. It was 140-ish at Daytona.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. And no seat belts.
Did you ever have an accident?
Yeah. I've had several over
the
years.
Where you should have been killed and weren't? Or
Not in the carts. You know, I broke my foot in the carts. I had whiplash, but nothing where I was, like, seriously injured.
By the way, do you know a Mr. Wrench down in Fort Pierce?
No.
Well, he's a Christian brother, has a gift of healing. When Barbara, my wife, had cancer, he came up here one night, a total stranger, prayed with her. The next day she was healed of spinal meningitis. He said she was healed.
Yeah, that's amazing.
His name is Wrench. We got to put you two together. Yeah. I mean, the name Wrench, and he works on engines for race cars.
Well, you kind of have to if you got that name.
Is that wild?
But what a great story. I mean, you don't, you know, I know God does miracles. I've seen him in my own life. But a lot of the times we pray, like the last time I prayed for my dad was for his healing, and the next day he was dead. So
believed in Jesus.
Ultimately, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work out the way we think or hope it's going to, even though our prayers are answered, they're not answered in the way
we prayed for the conjoined twins. The whole world was praying for them, yet they died when they tried to do the surgery. I said, God, why? Yeah. So I said, in other words, we can't manipulate you by collectively praying together. So what is prayer?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I guess it's, somebody said it's like you go fishing, and you throw the hook in the water, and there's an island, and you're trying to get the island to come to you. But no, it's you pulling in to the island. The island represents God. You're the boat.
And I think it's even more intimate than that, right? It's prayer is a conversation with God. It's like it could be a petition. It could be something that's a need that we're facing, that somebody else that we love is facing. It could be a frustration. It could be a cry. It could be, that is prayer. And people sometimes tend to, especially in religious communities, they tend to put that in a box, prayer.
This is it.
Yeah, this is.
But when I'm in my car all day long, like a lot of us, I'm always talking to God.
That's prayer.
Is that prayer? But then there's a difference also. He seems to be pleased when I actually get down on the knees. It's like, I call it satellite positioning. I don't know why it works, but you're humbling yourself.
Well, and I don't, the way that you reference that, I don't know that it's God that changes when you do that, as opposed to us that change when we do that.
Well, if it turns on our receptors.
Totally. I mean, we're in a prostrate position is a place of need, right? So we're...
I like it.
Yeah.
I'll get down on my face and I go, the cares of the world disappear. I say, you're God, I'm not, and it's good to be down here in the cold floor.
Yeah.
Help.
So I'll share my testimony
in
regards to racing with the go-karts in 1987.
How old are you at this time?
21 years old.
Okay.
I had recently, as I mentioned, won a national karting championship. At that point, I thought that my racing career was going to take off. That's what I had kind of worked toward as a young person. If I could just win a national championship, I could maybe race professionally, which is really what I wanted to do my whole life.
Yeah.
It was motorcycles at first, and then when I started racing karts, it was, okay, I want to be a race car driver. I had no financial backing other than my dad, which was a middle-class, hard-working, fiberglass.
What did he do for a living?
He invented a fiberglass racing Greyhound dog unit that went on the back of pickup trucks. That was his, they were always metal.
Yeah.
My uncle raced dogs down in Miami, and my dad said, hey, I can get your dogs to the track in a lot cooler conditions if I built a fiberglass box. And so that's what he did. And he had an eighth grade education. So did my mom, and the two of them ran the business.
That's what I have. I have an eighth grade education. My friend's a billionaire up here on the island. He says, Ray, he has an eighth grade education. He says, Mitch, what I could have done if I'd gone to ninth grade.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's something about this. You know how many famous people and successful people only have an eighth grade education? It's just something. I don't know. Maybe we fight harder because we feel less than.
Well, my dad, he passed in 2017, and I, to this day, don't know of anybody that worked harder than he did.
Yeah.
He was
always
perfect.
Trying. We never catch up.
Yeah.
Which is a good place to be.
Yeah. And he was amazing. So
even God
anyway,
says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. When meaning poor in spirit doesn't mean poor in pocket. It means that you know you have need, and that need really never gets filled while we're here.
No.
Fully.
No. It's that desire to have more of God that keeps us moving forward.
Yeah. So 21 years of age.
21 years old. I basically was at the bottom of my barrel. I had
no money.
I had no money. I was even the dream was broken because now I've won this championship. Nothing changed.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like it was ever gonna change.
Yeah.
And this was the point where God really did an incredible work. And I was at a place in my life for the first time that I was willing to say, okay, God, if you're real, which was my prayer, October 17th, 1987, if you're real, I need help. Because at that point, I didn't know if God was real. I had flipped open the Bible on occasion. My mom had become a Christian about 10 years prior. My oldest sister also, I thought they were both crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't want anything to do with what I saw in the world of religion. I thought it was a crutch.
Yeah.
My dad also was not religious, but he was a good man. I mean, he was a hard worker. He was plain spoken, simple, common sense.
Yeah.
I didn't want religion.
Mythical character.
And I didn't know anything about Jesus. I didn't know anything about really the scriptures. When I did open it up, I was lost somewhere in the Old Testament. Yeah. But what ended up happening just prior to my my transformation, which really it was an exchange, because my life, you know, as human beings, we are we derive from a spiritual entity. It's either, as the scripture tells us, the god of this world, which is Satan, or it's Christ. And, you know, for many years, I learned to participate with the enemy and all of the things that he likes to draw us into. And I can go down the list of what those things were. And at the end, those things brought me to the bottom of my barrel. And that's where I met Christ. And it was
I mean, just one day you call upon him, or go to church service, or what happened?
No, there was no church service. I was in my my bedroom in my apartment, was living with a girl that I had recently met, was going to college, working three jobs, you know, trying to just survive as a young person on my own.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how else to explain it other than the fact that I realized that I needed something that I didn't possess. And I had tried a lot of things. My life was good. I had a lot of friends. I was popular in high school. I wasn't in a specific clique in the 80s.
Wine, women, and song.
And in the 80s, I mean, you know, those that are of my age, you know, there was, you had the...
How old are you, did you say? Oh, 59.
56.
56, yeah.
Yeah, don't make me older.
I'll be 69 this month. I went to Woodstock. Go ahead.
So there were cliques in high school, but I was friends with all of them because I was a racer. I was a go-karter, and there really wasn't a place where that fit.
Yeah.
So my best friends were on the football team, or they were, you know, they were the freaks that were in the smoking area, or they were the nerds that were, you know, that would.
So what provoked you to call upon the name of Jesus in your bedroom?
Well, I realized, and again, the only explanation.
Nobody
that I have,
in your house. Oh no, your mom was supporting
you. My mom
Christian.
And my sister.
Okay, so they must have been feeding you something.
Well, they were trying, but I wasn't buying it.
No.
It was what I was seeing. I was not interested in, because I was enjoying my life, but I was in college. I was away from my mom and my sister.
Hmm.
I was alone.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Pliens Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's A New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my turn till I made. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried. It was my turn,
yeah.
Till I made. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called. We'll be right back.
This is my story. This is your story. Come on, listen.
I need a rescue. My sin is heavy. The chains break at the weight of glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. Well, I was broke.
Let's hear it. The loudest shout you got in you. Give it to us.
I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same promises are true. In his strength there is nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same
power that moves mountains when he speaks. The same power. going to fix our eyes on things above tonight. We're going to look towards heaven. Y'all ready? Let's start to the left. Here we go. Hey.
I'll fix my eyes.
I see you dancing with us. I walk by faith.
I walk by faith and not
it's just
by
a two-step
sight.
1, 2, 3, turn. 1, 2, 3, turn. Hey.
It's by your spirit and not by
mine. We sing together. Lift up your head.
Lift up your head.
Yeah. Walk by faith and not by sight.
I walk by faith and not by sight.
It's by his spirit,
it's by your spirit,
not by our might. Come on, we can't sing it and not do it. Everybody, lift up your hand.
Lift up your
hands. Oh, you. Lift up your hands.
This King of Glory,
our God strong and mighty.
Who is this King of Glory?
Our God mighty in battle.
Who is this King of Glory?
Our God strong and mighty.
Who is this King of
to the dark with a light to show. Grace been and pleased with our rights to show. I know my grace when a life is old. And I know my God still got me more. Call me mid-child to return a new page. I'm drawn in this love and I've been away. Calling this shout and I burn a new page. Calling this love cause I've gone away. Yeah.
Lift up.
Summer pool season is upon us. If you want your pool clear, Providence Pools is here. We offer weekly services that are reliable and affordable. Providence Pools, serving St. Lucie County. For a free estimate, we can be reached at 772-971-9570.
The civil government does not define your ethic as a Christian. That's critical that we understand that. And now maybe people will become more and more awakened to that.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I hope that you are listening to Renewing Your Mind on this station every day.
Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO.
This is Donna True with True Reflections on Aging with Grace. Listen as I share a very important point with you concerning critical issues of the aging experience. Are you with someone whose memory is changing? You may be noticing fluctuations in a person's cognitive status. At times, you can easily detect the confusion, even though the person with the memory changes is in what appears to be denial. There is something else, and it's called anosognosia, a big word that simply means lack of insight. This is different from denial. You know the person is confused and forgetful at times, but they don't see that at all. In fact, will say you never told them what you are accusing them of forgetting. Tempers begin to flare. With caregiver education, you can learn how to better respond in a situation like this. Sometimes caregivers think their loved ones are faking it or being manipulative because they have such good company manners when they are in someone else's presence. How are they able to pull it together like that? The brain is an amazing organ, and they can pull it together for short periods of time. The 24/7 picture is very different from the short social visit. It's time to seek out a medical evaluation, typically performed by a neurologist. The doctor will try to determine the cause of the memory changes by performing a series of tests. Is it something treatable, such as a thyroid issue or depression? Reach out for answers. Now is the time. Did I say something today that got your attention? I'm Donna True, and I can be reached at 772-223-7800, Council on Aging of Martin County at the Kane Center. That's 772-223-7800.
inside of the grave. The enemy fought you, he tried but he lost. You cannot be stopped. When we cried for freedom, you tore down.
Hallelujah, 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 he is wonderful. let every heart receive him now. Where there is praise, he will inhabit, and there will be grace and mercy all around. Every burden will be lifted in his presence. Every trophy will be laid down at his feet. There is a name that reigns above all others, Jesus Christ, the King above all. To the Lamb, honor and glory, worthy is he who overcame, buried in shame, risen in power. He is alive in the soul.
We invite you to join the Word of Truth International Ministry with Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope every Saturday at 8 a.m. as we break the bread of life and teach the Word of God right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Testimonies feed my faith. I love to hear about miracles. Do you too? Well, you can listen to my show. I'm Rhett Palmer. It's a new day every day at 7 a.m., 3 p.m., and 3 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 on your FM dial.
So you're pregnant, and suddenly your whole life changed. You want to be joyful, but you're also afraid and anxious. How do you deal with this? Where do you go for help? CareNet Pregnancy Services of the Treasure Coast is here for you. We give compassionate counsel, helpful education and referrals so that you can make the best decision. There is no charge for our confidential services, and we will ensure that you enjoy security and strong support from the CareNet family. Reach out to us today at 772-828-3168.
Let me walk.